Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Hey, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. I want to say a happy birthday to Michael Phelps, who turns 35 today. Michael Phelps is, in my world, the greatest Olympian ever. And now many people may go, well, I'm a little older and this guy was better or more important to me in my Olympic experience. But as far as individual athletes go, there are only a few sports that we all gather as a country and root for the same thing. That's when the United States World Cup teams, whether men or the women, are playing, and the Olympics, right? Other than that, we're very city-oriented, you know, or we're conference-oriented in college football. You know, we just very sectional. But when the Olympics occur, or the World Cup, or whatever, we get all nationalistic and prideful. And Michael Phelps, just with five Olympic appearances, he has 23 golds, three silvers, and two bronze. I love the fact that of all of his entire medal count of, what, you know, 28 medals, 23 of them are gold medals. It's not like he has four gold medals and, you know, 17 silvers and six bronze, whatever it is. He has 23 gold medals. And I'll never forget, I was at a preseason football game in 2008 for the Broncos. In preseason games, you know, they're kind of dull, but yeah, who cares? You're there. And the crowd was hanging out, and, you know, most of them are, you know, going to file out of the stadium. But everybody was sticking around because on the Jumbotron, as soon as the game was over and the stadium was starting to clear out, they went to Beijing where Phelps was in a race. Or they were, NBC was showing his latest race. And everybody in the stadium stopped. And everybody in the stadium watched. And when Phelps won, the place went crazy. And I kept wondering to myself, you know what? How many stadiums are like this? Or how many people around the country just did what all of these thousands of people that hung out after this Bronco preseason game just did? We don't get a lot of that in sports. You know, when Landon Donovan scored that World Cup goal and the whole nation erupted, we don't get that feeling very often. Phelps has experienced that 23 times, where the whole nation cheered him winning one event, you know, winning particular swimming events. So happy birthday, 35.
Listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Again, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Oh, guess who's reuniting for the NBA? J.R. Smith and LeBron James.
Yes, they are.
This is great, huh? So Avery Bradley is opting out for the return. Because of family reasons. So it's possible that the Lakers are reportedly finalizing a deal with J.R. Smith to join the roster. Remember how much fun those two had a couple of years ago in the NBA Finals at Game 1? With the game tied and J.R. Smith had the ball. Was like, I'll just dribble out over here. Is that cool? And LeBron's like, Give me the ball!
Was there a meme associated with that play?
I don't know if there's one. If I'm not mistaken, I think there was a meme associated with that play.
The one picture that made headlines all across the globe. LeBron with his two outstretched hands looking at J.R. Smith what the bleep were you thinking?
I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And it set the tone for that series.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, if they had gotten that shot off, they would have won game one. Who knows? I doubt they would have won the series anyways, but who knows?
Yeah, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that a sweep in 2018?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was. I'm not sure, but I think it was. It was kind of one of those years where Golden State was really cruising.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, LeBron going, you got to be, what? It was the best. So these two could be coming back. Coming back together.
They are. They're going to be teammates once again.
This is going to be fun. This is going to be good.
You know, but there's a little unfairness going on because all the jokes really were J.R. Smith showing up to the Staples Center.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's that one famous like GIF or meme, whatever you want to call it, of Will Smith standing in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house when he's all
right.
Alone.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, that's J.R. Smith when he shows up at the Staples Center. Just kind of looking around like no one's there.
Right. No one's there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Come on. JR's a little smarter than that.
Yeah, come on. JR is, yeah.
Give him some credit.
He didn't know the game was tied.
Yeah. That's in-game stuff. He didn't have someone to tell him, hey, they're in Orlando.
Yeah, get down to Orlando. Get inside that bubble.
Why? Are we going to Disney World?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I get down here, I think I'm going to do a couple of things. I think I'm going to ride Space Mountain. I think I'm going to play poker with the same deck of cards. I think I'll play doubles ping pong. No, you're not going to do any of those things. What? What am I doing here? Yeah, it's ride the monorail. No, you ain't going to do that. How about the ferry boat? Nope. The train? Nope.
Do they still have paddle boats? You can use your foot.
Yeah. Can you use your foot on the paddle boats? Yeah, they could do that.
I remember they used to have those at Disneyland.
Yeah, they did.
Disneyland Hotel.
They did. They used to have a Disney World too. They got rid of those. I don't know if those are off the like in other areas of the resort, but those are always fun.
Yeah,
being out in the middle of a lake, using a bicycle pedal. So,
exercise.
So the teams are going to be reporting in the next couple of days. The calendar's ready to turn over tomorrow, and then it's. Within a couple of days, teams will be in Orlando practicing and getting back into game shape for the start at the end of the season. I really hope this goes off well. I really do. Look, I was talking about this yesterday, and I kind of want to reiterate this. Do I think that when we look back on 2020, and like this was funny because this was mentioned at my son's high school graduation yesterday, how like this has been really unique, and because it's so unique, you'll remember this differently than other graduating classes. And she was trying to put a little bit of a positive spin on the fact that like school was shut down and it never came back, and all those extracurricular activities were canceled. But in the end, when you turn to be an adult and you kind of live your life and you have your own kids, you'll look back and say, I was part of this graduating class in a year that is going to be in the history books. And that's the way sports is in a way. I mean, look, all of these sports that are coming back in a different way. How will we look at the NBA champion of 2020? I mean, will we count it? Will we feel like it's tainted? Will we feel like it's not legit because it's in this bubble in Orlando? And some of the things, some of the elements that make the playoffs in the NBA, so they're really important. Listen, growing up Celtics Lakers, you almost counted if the Lakers were to come to the Boston Garden and take a game, you almost felt like this series is now over. Like it's going to be because teams won at home. I mean, it was such a big advantage to win at home. Not always the case, but you had to really sweat it out that you needed a road win in LA at the Great Western Forum. Are you crazy? How are we going to do that? But in this environment, because you're not going to have any crowd and an energy, enthusiasm of a building, how will we look at the playoffs? How will we look at teams going in? Now, so I said, look, you had all these other years in sports, in the history of sports, where a strike had canceled a portion of the season, and yet there is a champion on the other end, right? So the NFL season of 82 was cut short, yet there's a champion. They used scab players in 87 in the NFL, yet there's a champion. You have Major League Baseball shutting down in 1981, and yet there was a champion. So you had, you know, NBA had a lockout in 99, and yet there was a champion. But in those situations, in those champions that were part of shortened seasons, there at least was the same playoff format and the same playoff look that you expected, right? Like I said, the Redskins played the Dolphins in the Super Bowl 17 in Pasadena, and it was a Super Bowl. It wasn't a different Super Bowl. They didn't play it on a different day, or they didn't play it midweek in front of nobody in an empty stadium in March. It was done at the time you expected the Super Bowl to be played. There was a playoff. It was a different playoff, but the format stayed the same. The NFL is single elimination. It was single elimination then. Same thing with baseball. There was an NLCS and an ALCS, and there was a World Series, and it was at Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium, and the Dodgers won the World Series. So you end up with championships that look similar, that look the way they're supposed to look, even if the season was marred by labor stop or labor strife, and it didn't start on time, or it stopped midway before there was a resolution, whatever it is. This is completely different, right? This is going to be completely different. Now, do I think that the NBA will record the Milwaukee Bucks or the LA Lakers as champions of 2019 and 20, and that's going to be it, and that's going to be in the record books? Yeah. Will there be an asterisk? No. I don't think that the NBA will do it, because they don't want to tar it, right? They're not going to say these were special circumstances and this somehow is different, because that's bad. That's bad PR for them. But in our minds, we will. In our minds, we might. And that may be all that matters, right? That may be the only thing that we, when we look back on 2020, we may say, well, we had all of these champions, but my God, it was a weird way to crown champions. It was not right. It didn't feel the same. Like when the final buzzer sounded in Orlando at some empty arena and the Lakers were celebrating, we didn't get the same feeling. There wasn't a crowd that was either disappointed because the road team won, or elated with fireworks and confetti because the home team won. That element has been stripped away, and somehow how do we view that is going, I mean, is just, it's, I think it's going to be bizarre. It's really going to be, I think, bizarre in the world, in the playoffs of baseball. Because baseball is going to be played at should be at its normal prime time slot, if they're going to maximize the revenue that they're supposed to be making from television, but in an empty stadium. I mean, imagine the lights of Yankee Stadium are on, they're lit, and the Yankees are playing the Dodgers in the World Series, and nobody is in the stands. Right now, I'm hoping by then, maybe you get 25% in. I don't know. Maybe you get zero in if the virus has a second wave. Who knows what it will look like? But let's just say, for the sake of argument, no one's allowed to go in at any time during the season. They don't open up the stadiums to anybody. How bizarre is that? It's one thing to watch an NBA game at this environment in Orlando, where you know it's got a summer league look to it, where they're playing in this empty arena that's really doesn't hold a lot of people anyway. It's not like it holds 25,000 people, but it's been used for college basketball games and such. To have that game played in front of no crowds, but yet on a court, on a neutral court where you know it's being inside this bubble, that's fine. Traditional venues that you see in the postseason for baseball, empty, prime time, right? The Fox crew giving you the game, and it's an empty Dodger Stadium. It's an empty Yankee Stadium. It's an empty Fenway Park or whatever. It's going to be so bizarre. And that is where I think you might get these feelings like, golly. So we all will accept it, because again, just like the principal was talking about this with the high school student, saying, you'll remember this. You're part of something unique. You're part of something that you've got a story. You've got a more unique story about graduating than anybody else that has graduated. And we'll do the same. I mean, we will do the same thing. There'll be a generation that'll come up that won't remember 2020 particularly well. And we all who have followed our teams, you know, or at least covered the sport or followed the sport, we will look back and say, you know what? It was really strange. It was times so strange, I didn't know if it had any validity. But in the end, it did. In the end, when it was over, it did. If the Lakers were to go on to win this title, the Lakers winning this title, when you look at all of the championships that the Lakers have won and who won them, right, of all the lists of beating the Celtics, of the three straight that Kobe and Shaq won, right, the one Kobe won without Shaq, right, all of the list of championships that the Lakers have won, if they win this one, It's LeBron, and it's the most unique way an NBA team has ever won a championship in the history of the league. Good or bad, that is how this is going to be remembered. And I think it is going to be remembered. It's just going to be different. And so when baseball is playing in front of empty stadiums, when hockey is playing in an empty arena, when Major League Soccer crowns a champion in a really cool way, doing it in a World Cup style that even a soccer non-soccer guy like me really loves. I mean, I love that format. I just think we should embrace it and say, you know what? This is so wacky and weird. I didn't get normal, but I got different. And different's not all that bad. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up this hour as well. Coming up next, a tradition that is coming up on Saturday that's going to look really, really different. Should it even be done at all? That's next as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
800-224-2004 is the number. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. You can also like us on Facebook, at Tony D Ron Culver. Spell Ron with two N's, please. That's how he gets it. O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so coming up on Saturday, a tradition like no other, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But Yay. It's not going to be done without any crowd. It's at on Coney Island at Stillwell and Surf. There's going to be an empty sort of feeling.
Do you think people are just going to be walking around Coney Island, not knowing?
Yeah, just going, what are they doing?
We're supposed to be doing something right now.
They're also limiting the field of contestants, which have you ever watched that thing where you're like, why are they have so many people? And they're not even close to the two people we're watching.
Like the guys at the very end.
Right.
Slowly the camera's like, you got the wide shot so you can get everyone in, and then the camera just slowly zooms in. You don't even know it's zooming in. And just focusing on those three guys in the middle.
Right. There's Joey Chestnut, Matt Stoney. And I think those are some other guy. Used to be Kobayashi. And then like way down is like some guy, and he's got 27 hot dogs, right? Yeah. Because he's from Columbus, Ohio, and he won a local event and he got to go to Coney Island, which for him is like an amateur going to the Masters. I'm at the Masters. I have no chance, but at least I'm here. Coney Island eating hot dogs. So no crowd. So does that mean George Shea, the carnival barker that he is going to have to, he's not going to be able to do his antics that he normally does in the contest.
Maybe he can, but
because it's television.
It's television, but there's no one to see it.
No one's going to see it. So does this count? If the hot dog eating contest happens with no fans, does it make a sound? Does it make a burp?
Right.
This is one of those events. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I always tune in. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
The other reason why I don't know why we tune in is because it's in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's even before you've had, maybe you're having breakfast. Maybe you're having your bowl of Cheerios and you're watching guys just scarf hot dogs down their face like it's the end of the world.
Yeah, just shoving their face with hot dogs. You know what, though? When Kobayashi came aboard and did that double hot dog, like, I don't know. He took two hot dogs and just shoved. Like, he changed the way that eaters would eat the hot dog, because normally they would just take the hot dog and bun and just dip it in water and shove it down. And then Kobayashi kind of did it differently. He's like, I'll eat the hot dog first and then shove the bun down. And that's how you get 70 hot dogs down in 10 minutes or whatever it is the time is. But when I watch this event, and I don't know why I do, but it's like, it's one of those, it's like eating a meal you know is messy and is going to give you heartburn, but you're like, this is delicious. I'm going to eat it. Same thing with the hot dog eating contest. Like, I watch it and I go, why am I watching this act of gluttony?
Yeah.
And I go, but well, when I you're can't first turn
watching
away. It,
dude, when you're first watching, you're like, oh, man, those hot dogs look so good.
You're right.
And then when you're seeing Chestnut get to like 50, 60, you're like, God, how is he even, where is he putting
How is he doing
it?
This? Yeah, where he just is that going?
Just feel like crap the rest of the day.
Yeah. Just what are the secrets of doing that?
Like, you know, has he watched a fireworks show?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. Like, every 4th of July, this guy stuffs his face with hot dogs. And then what does he do for the rest of the day other than trying to get rid of said hot dogs?
And sleep. Because that's the only thing I could do.
Right.
But if I'm that full, it's just laying on a bed, like, you know, completely expanded out. Like, just no one come near me, no one touch me. You got the hot dog sweats.
Oh.
Last thing you want to do is take in a fireworks show or light a firecracker.
And the way the hot dog and the bun and the water is, like, all over their mouth, it's disgusting, but yet I can't turn away.
No, it is.
I can't turn away.
There's no reason why any of us should be tuning into it.
No. For many years, they used to have Paul Page do it. He used to be the, like, race car announcer for ESPN, did, like IndyCar. It's like a respected motorsports broadcaster.
What if they got a Kentucky Derby guy?
Now, that would be good. Now, that would be really good. I always thought that was great. The hot dog eating contest is just, I don't know, it's one of those 4th of July traditions, man.
It is. You know? Why is it? I mean, because I remember in years past, if you go way, way back, like 10, 15 years ago, I don't remember it being televised.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, way back.
It was, but you know, normally you didn't really know about it. Now it's something we all look forward to. It's becoming a 4th of July tradition.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one of those things where, if I'm not mistaken, the Shea brothers really tried to push it as a television thing, and they were like, "Look, man, it's not. There's nothing really else going, you know, like on at that time, and this is pretty awesome, and we got a big crowd because it's always popular. I mean, it's always one of those things. It was always one of those sideshow, carnival, circus like things that people just stopped and would watch, and then next thing you know, it became like a pilgrimage for people. That's the weird transition, right? It was normally like, hey, we're at Coney Island. It's 4th of July. We're in New York. Let's go to Coney Island. It's the beach and hang out on the boardwalk. Oh, and look, they're having a hot dog eating contest at the world's famous Nathan's. Let's stop and watch this. This is kind of cool. And people did that. Now, because of the exposure, it's people are making pilgrimages to New York City to see it in person, to see it live. Getting up at the crack of dawn, getting on the subway, going all the way out there, standing there waiting for this event. And it's like a cult. It's like a cultish thing. And now you've got, instead of just big fat guys shoving hot dogs in their face, like Joey Chestnut's got, it's a science. How do you eat these things? And what always impresses me about this event is when George Shea or is listing every other thing that these guys win at. Right? It's not just hot dogs. He's like, here's this contestant, and he is the matzo ball eating champion. He's the saltine cracker champion. He's stuffed 100 meatballs down his throat in 2 minutes. Like, the list of things these eaters are able to do other than just hot dogs, I'm like, God, who has time for that? That can't be healthy. It's one thing if you gear yourself up for one day of shoving hot dogs down your throat 70 in 20 in 10 minutes. But this is what they do all the time.
Yeah.
Like he goes to a carnival in August to participate in a Hot Pocket contest. Like oh yeah, yeah, don't forget in October there's the big lasagna eating contest in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I got to attend. So I can't do anything that weekend. Like that's what they do. Everywhere they go, they eat tremendous amounts of food in a short period of time. That's their job. That's what they're known for. It's golly. And it's impressive. It's impressive in that weird way that your like cousin can do some sort of crazy thing with their thumb. And you're like, that's gross, but that's kind of weird. That's kind of a cool party trick that you can bend your thumb all the way back to your hand. And yet these guys are cult figures. They're like major celebrities. Rick Riley once took Joey Chestnut to Dodger Stadium because Dodger Stadium had a all-you-can-eat hot dog pass. And Rick Riley thought it would be cool to take Joey Chestnut to that. Like, he's going to write a story about Joey Chestnut at Dodger Stadium with an all-you-can-eat hot dog pass. How fantastic is that? It's amazing. And listen, I can eat, but after two hot dogs, I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you could push it. If you haven't had anything else, if you're not having any sides.
Listen, if I was starving, I probably could eat. If I starved myself for a day, fasted for a day, and you said, look, here's six hot dogs. Can you eat these six?
I could do that easy.
Yeah. Easy.
70, though, in 10 minutes?
And if I didn't have any shame, like if my wife was like, go ahead, honey, I might get 10 down.
Wake up call. Continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Tuesday as we continue along the final day of June. What is the good of the day, my friend?
The good of the day is we got to give it up to a hero named Jessica who saved a family drowning.
Jessica saved a family drowning.
Yes.
Okay.
She is, her name is Jessica, Jessica Layton? I want to make sure to get her name right. Jessica Layton, she's 28 years old from Cornwall, which is in England.
All right.
She's being hailed a hero after saving a family from drowning.
Awesome.
While topless.
Awesome.
And you just have to wonder, was the family really drowning? Maybe one of them was in peril, but she saved three members.
Okay.
Three family members who were out. They got caught in a riptide. And she was on this beach just sunbathing like normal topless women do.
In England,
where, right? You know, we know England for its beaches.
That's right, I guess.
I guess what she did, she was, you know, kind of, she swam out there, was able to grab one of them. That person grabbed another person's hand. That person another grabbed another person's hands, and she was able to pull them in.
Good for her. Yeah. Well done.
I'm just wondering, though, if, you know, would one of them, pull the, was it Smalls or Squints from Sandlot?
Yeah. I'm still not feeling good.
I'm unconscious. I need mouth to mouth.
Yeah, I need mouth to mouth. Right.
And needless to say, I mean, I do say she's 28, and they all come in shapes and sizes when they're 28 years old. She is a very fit woman as
Gotcha. Okay. So, even better. Even better. Well done.
But there is just kind of every once in a while, you just need a topless woman to come save you.
That's right. That's right. But the riptide stuff is scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get caught in that. Now, is that the one that pulls you out, like, to the ocean?
Yeah.
And it just pulls you deep out in the ocean?
There's a key to handling riptide currents.
I'm trying to remember, which is the one that pulls you underwater? It doesn't necessarily pull you out, but it pulls you underwater. Well, which is the one that pulls you out, like, forget it, we're gone?
A riptide will pull you out. It can also pull you under, but it'll pull you out.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people's mistake is, I'll give you guys a little riptide knowledge real
quick. Yeah, please do. This is important.
Part of the mistake is that when someone does get caught in a riptide, they try to swim through it.
And what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to just kind of like get on your back a little bit and let it suck you out. Because it's not going to suck you out miles out to the deep ocean.
Oh.
It's going to suck you out to where the wave break is, just where the wave break is, and then you just swim around it and come in like you normally would.
Gotcha. So don't panic.
If you think of it kind of like how it's kind of shaped like a funnel in a way.
Yeah.
So it'll start from one area and then it just kind of fans out back to where the waves are. And so have
you ever been caught in one?
No, but you can recognize them very easily.
Okay. All right.
That's another tip. Before you guys go into the ocean, always sit on the beach for about 10, 15 minutes and just watch the waves.
I don't get to go to the beach very often, but when I do, that's the one thing that is in the back of my mind is like, don't get caught in a riptide.
Yeah, you just don't panic. Because what a lot of people do is they try to swim through it and then they get exhausted.
Yeah, of course.
And then that's when the drowning happens.
I'm telling you, one time when my family was down in Mississippi for vacation once, down the Gulf Shores, my brother and I, there was like a buoy, and my brother and I are pretty good swimmers, and we both decided we're going to swim out to the buoy and back, right? Because the buoy was far enough that it was challenging, but it didn't look all that daunting because, you know, we both can swim pretty well. My brother went back and forth, no problem. I went, and I was out of shape, and I got to the buoy, but when I turned around, I realized I didn't have enough gas to get back home. And I remember struggling really bad. And I remember thinking, this could be it. Like, I did not have any energy to get back. And that's what I managed. But after that, I said, I ain't doing that. That was a little scary to realize I was far out enough when nobody could get me. And I just had, I mean, even the adrenaline of being scared was, I just could not stay up. I was like, oh God, I was out of breath. I couldn't breathe. And then I finally just sucked it up and made it back. But it's scary. So you're right. When you get in that riptide and there's a little bit of panic and then there's a little bit of exhaustion, that's right. You could go down. Unless, of course, there's a topless woman who's able to bring you back to shore and save you and your family. So well done for her, Jessica. She should be a hero. Did she get knighted by the queen?
No.
No?
No.
She got a medal?
But she is a performer, an actor and a singer.
Oh, maybe she gets a little bit more recognition.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. She also said, fortunately, she had just put her bikini bottoms on before it happened. So.
Oh, yeah.
She, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Story keeps getting better and better.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that you and I weren't swimming that day.
That's right. Yeah.
Man, we definitely would have pulled a Smalls or a Squints. Still can't remember which one it was.
I'm drowning.
Yeah. No, the actual bad of the day is that an Inter Milan goalkeeper, Inter Milan is
yes.
a famed club in the Italian Serie A. He has never played for the club, but has been sent off twice.
Sent off twice? Is it like sent to the minors?
No. He's
Where
been
is that?
Kicked out of the game twice.
Oh, okay.
So basically, he has been with the club for 6 years. He's their backup goalkeeper. He's been with the club for 6 years and has received 2 red cards.
Ooh.
Which is 2 more red cards than minutes he has played for the club.
What does he do? Does he just get out there and start yelling at the officials?
One of the times, the first time he was sent off was after a game. Because you can receive a red card after a game and
right.
receive a next match ban. And he decided that after the game, he was going to let a referee have it. And he did.
Okay.
And then the other time came during a game where he decided to let a referee have it and was sent off during the game.
So is he good enough to warrant them keeping him around,
that's
or is he just that much of a troublemaker?
That's $1 million. I've never heard of him.
Right.
He is pulling in 2,000 or 200,000. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's euros a year.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure. Sorry, I don't speak Italian money.
Sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, right? It's a decent way. I mean, imagine getting paid $200,000 a year. You're a backup catcher who never sees any action.
Right.
Or a backup quarterback. You know, and you just show up to games. You do a little bit. His contract is up this year, though. So it'll be interesting to see if he is continued
that on. Yeah, I'm curious. Because now, I mean, is he just a problem where you're like, I don't care how talented you are. You're not staying here.
I mean, but that's all he's done in 2 years' time. He's 37 years old.
Oh,
now,
it's a little old.
Tommaso Berni is his name.
All right. Tommaso Berni, you're on the clock.
Yeah. So hopefully
see if you
he
have a job soon.
Plays a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. I mean, it's kind of just funny. If you had his soccer card, I don't know. I don't think they have them, but if you had his soccer card, that's all it would show on the back.
A couple of red cards and no minutes.
Exactly.
That's great. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
Scientists say that there's a another virus from China that could spark a pandemic.
Come on now. Give us a break.
Yeah. I think at this time, China needs to just be canceled. No more China. You cannot go out. This is it's another type of swine flu that could be brewing over there in China. Swine flu, the original swine flu, which I don't remember which one it was called. I don't know if that was H1N1 or SARS, you know, whatever what things were. That one originated in Mexico and wasn't as bad as we all thought because a lot of people did have built-in immunities for it. This is another type of swine flu that is hurting pigs, but it can also hurt humans as well. And we're not even done with coronavirus.
We're not even done with coronavirus. And I don't
China's
have enough
already,
time in my life for another one.
China's already sending out another pandemic.
I don't need Anthony Fauci more in my life.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to be like, well, we got done with the coronavirus, but now this one is, I got to stay on TV.
Yep, this one.
No,
this one is called G4EAH1N1. It's a variation of the swine flu.
Great.
So thanks, China.
Thank you. Oh God, what's coming out now? I mean, what is? I mean, this year is going to be. I'm kind of hoping that the fall is going to be so awesome, more awesome than we ever could imagine. And we go, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, we put up with a lot, but we got a back end that was just absolutely fantastic.
I mean, technically, today marks the halfway point of 2020.
That's true.
Yeah, so when we start tomorrow, when we wake up tomorrow, we are closer to 2021 than we are to the beginning of 2020.
Unreal.
So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, right?
I don't know how that helps out people in their daily lives, their daily routine, but that's just what it is. We're itching closer to the end of 2020. I don't even know if any of this stuff ends at the end of 2020. I kind of feel like it's going to just continue.
Yeah, I mean, virus doesn't have a timeline, doesn't have a calendar. Calendar rolls right in.
Virus isn't sitting there looking like, well, I only got 6 more months to infect people.
And then that's it. It's all going to come to an end, so we might as well get it while we can.
Better remember to reset my watch.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, goodness. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on Wake Up Call as we continue along on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. And this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up in like a week, maybe a little more than a week, is going to be the 10th anniversary of the decision LeBron made where he left Cleveland and headed down to Miami. A lot of people don't remember this actually turned out to be a sign and trade deal, right? LeBron decided to go to Miami, and then Pat Riley was able to work out a sign and trade deal to get some additional cap space with Cleveland. Cleveland didn't have to do that, but they did it. You know, they did it. It benefited them. It benefited LeBron and benefited the Heat. But there was this story that kind of came out, I think it was over the weekend or at least right before the weekend, that this decision on the decision actually came from a email letter submission that Bill Simmons got while he was writing a column at ESPN where it was like a mailbag column. And somebody from, I think, Detroit had suggested that LeBron do this, and it just filtered down through, you know, the minds, and it ended up with that. It ended up what you ended up seeing 10 years ago. And it's kind of funny. It's like, here we are 10 years later, and you can almost sense that there's like a little spin. Like, it really wasn't LeBron's idea. It was just kind of this fan's idea, and it just kind of blossomed from that. I don't really
but
care whose
idea
was.
But
did you get
the impression, too, that Bill Simmons stole it?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And claimed it as his own.
Claimed it as his own.
Thus sparking the Bill Simmons empire.
You know, I got this email, and all of a sudden, LeBron's on TV doing his decision, and I think that was my idea. I was the one that came up with that.
No, I don't think it's – I don't really care whose idea it was. It was stupid. It was so
– right.
I mean, but on the surface, 10 years later, was it a good idea that looked – that went horribly wrong, or was it always a bad idea? Like, the idea of him getting on TV – and announcing where he was going, like on the surface, you would go, yeah, it seems kind of cool. Like in the media business, we're always looking for content. We're always looking for things we can sell and make a little money off of. Yeah, LeBron.
Well, I think the first mistake to it all was that it was already pre-programmed to be an hour.
Right. That was the worst.
And we're like, okay, you're going to take an hour to talk about where you're going to go. And then beyond that, he let us know where he was going in the first 5 minutes.
Yep, and then we had an hour of processing it all,
yeah, right?
And getting interviews and all that. I'm glad it happened because I think we now know better that this probably isn't a really good idea for an athlete to do. Look, I think if you're a television executive, you'd wish every major free agent, like, believe me, as bad as the decision was, a television executive would put Tom Brady's version of that on in 8 seconds. It would be done if he could do it. But for as an athlete, as a PR move for an athlete, it was terrible because the first thing people said was, that wasn't really nice what you did to the Cavaliers and the people of Cleveland.
No, it's terrible.
That actually was, like, we can't respect you for doing that. And it was amazing how quickly he became a sports villain because of that. Like, here was Cleveland, who was so used to getting kind of kicked around in sports, right? Poor Cleveland, right, had to suffer through the fumble and all of the things, and the drive and everything that had gone on in that city in terms of its inability to claim a championship. And then they got this. And the sympathy went out to that town and the people and that fan base. And LeBron became a villain almost the second it was over. Everyone was like, that was not cool. That was not cool. So as a television decision, it's the right one. You can, as long as you get eyeballs, you know, you get eyeballs. But as an athlete, I think other athletes were like, I ain't doing that. No, I may have a decision to make, but I ain't going on TV for an hour. I don't care if I surround myself with the Boys and Girls Club to try to shield me from the onslaught of anger that's coming my way. I ain't doing it. I'll just announce it through my Instagram. I'll announce it through my, you know, whatever they were using now to make those kind of decisions. But it just did not work out the way I think LeBron thought it was going to work out. I think it ended up being like, I think he thought he was doing at least the right thing. It's like, it's for charity and people kind of want to know and we'll do it on TV and it'll be a big deal and we'll raise money and whoops.
Definitely was one of those that sounded better on paper or sounded better in the boardroom discussing it.
That's what I was saying.
Keep plugging the charity aspect. You're like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds great. And listen, you know, it's the first time that something like that had ever happened. So I kind of lean towards a good idea that went bad only because I think LeBron at the time was probably just surrounding himself with people who kept telling him over and over again how good this was going to be.
Yeah, of course.
Right? I mean, it was LeBron was still very young, all right? And he's probably been told, look, man, the whole country wants to know where you're going, so why don't you just tell the whole country on TV? Oh, okay, I could do that. Can we raise money for a Boys and Girls Club? Yeah, we can raise money for a boy. Of course we can raise money for a Boys and Girls Club. Okay, let's do it for charity. And yeah, of course. Now, we are going to sell some advertising to it. Oh, yeah, I know. But yeah, it'll be good. It'll be an hour. It'll be fantastic. America will love it. And boy, were they wrong.